Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
big,
big. We
get big, big.
Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Tuesday. Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Hennig, producing, engineering, co-hosting. Loaded show today. A lot to get to. Plenty of Nebraska basketball thoughts. A lot of college football discussion points. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, our regular in this first half hour of hour one. Mitch will join us. Then busy second hour. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, going to give us a few minutes, get his thoughts on the Big Ten bowl matchups, Nebraska's season, and some Husker hoops. And then it's Pirate time. We love talking all things holiday season with Mike Leach. The Pirate will join us at 5:25. Coach Leach of Washington State. We'll see what we can get into it with him on, assuming there's nothing off limits, because there isn't. He's always a party. And then 10-11 Sports, Kevin Suits. Also, we'll get caught up with Katie Martin coming up, Madonna Proactive. Do you have the boiler going? Because it is post-Thanksgiving, and it might be fruitcake time already. I don't know how many goodies are brought to your house in droves, but there's always junk food at our house. The waistline and shirt are getting tight. I'm the biggest Scrooge you'll meet or know this holiday season. Case in point, this stupid real tree we had to buy. Watching the end of Monday Night. And it tips over. It goes timber. This is after the frickin' puppy chewed up about four ornaments trying to get another vet bill before it's New Year's.
Yeah, chew up some glass.
She did. She's launching into it. She's like the damn squirrel in Christmas Vacation. The opposite end, though. Launching into versus jumping out. Mm. But the thing tipped. She wasn't responsible for that. So I asked the wife to get out of bed and help me pick the glass out of my feet, because I didn't wear slippers. All right, let's get off and running. If you haven't checked out HaleVarsity.com, we invite you to do so and be a premium member with the message board. And once in a while, we'll throw out some topics on the message board that I think are interesting. Now, this question pertains to sports. There's another game you can play with buddies on road trips. It's called Would You Rather. This is in a sports context. This is to completely go with picking one or the other. Would you rather? And I asked, get a win over Creighton tomorrow night for Nebraska basketball, or get a bowl win over Tennessee? Both would be ideal, yes. But if you could just pick one.
A win-win.
What's your priority? A win-win. A win-win. Mm-hmm. So there's some responses. One, we're a football school, so give me football. Another, yeah, basketball. Nebraska can be pretty good and put a pretty good finish together, but you need that tipping point win. You need that spark. Think back to the NCAA tournament run with Nebraska. What sparked it? What got them hot? The win at Michigan State against the top 10 Penn State. I'm thinking, sorry. I'm thinking hot momentum riding teams right now. Mm-hmm. What got Nebraska hot in 2014, the win at Michigan State over a top 10. Their 9-1 close. That was because of what happened in East Lansing, and then you capped it with the win over Wisconsin. So I can see that. This is just another bowl game. It's the Music City Bowl. I pay a mortgage every month, Franklin American. So on the grand scheme of things, are you going to be toasting beers and high-fiving bros because you beat Tennessee in the bowl game? I think you'd be doing that if you beat Creighton.
Yes. See you in the rail yard.
Am I right?
See you in the rail yard.
And you're staying. You're bringing your tent, your sleeping bag. You're bringing Lloyd's two pair of gloves.
Yeah.
And you're going to get by the fire pit. And you're going to be partying all night long if you knock off top 10 Creighton.
Mm-hmm.
So I've completely contradicted myself. I have thought this through.
Okay.
But football always kind of takes top dog for me. I agree with that. You're a football school. I think you can be both. I'm not getting into are you a football or bad. Just saying, you beat Tennessee, it's kind of it's a bowl win. It's better than the alternative. But if you beat Creighton, you're celebrating that thing. You're not going to celebrate a bowl win as much.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause Tennessee doesn't mean much to you. It'll be fun. It'll be cool. I hope you all go because Nashville's a good time. But you beat Creighton or go a step further, you beat either Creighton or Kansas.
Whew.
And you're like, all right, how about Coach Miles? How about this young basketball team? Look at the possibility. It's not even January. It's not even Big Ten play.
Mm-mm.
And you get a win. I mean, that's a shot of amphetamines, babe. Yeah. That's what it is. So ask yourself that question. Can chime in 466-377-6800, 825-5865. In a sports context, would you rather? Other conversations involving would you rather? Sharon Stone now, Sharon Stone from 1991. Date. Okay, we're talking sports here. Get a win over Creighton, beat Tennessee. It's Hypothetical Tuesday. High five yourself.
Yeah, I know where I'm leaning.
This will shock me greatly.
We haven't beaten Creighton since 2010, and I was able...
Just because you own Nebraska ball shorts. I mean, we?
Yeah, oh,
come on.
Sorry about that.
I mean, I can leave.
Nebraska basketball hasn't beaten Creighton since 2010 when I was driving back from the Big 12 championship that we lost to Oklahoma.
We again. Shoulder pads.
Oh, it's one of those days.
No. Yeah, keep going.
And we won that 59-54. I believe that was Doug McDermott's freshman year. And we have not beaten Creighton since. I've been to every Nebraska basketball game at Creighton since then, and it's been a blowout every time, except maybe when Bo Spencer hit a three to make it like a 10-point game instead of a... We were down 30. So, look, man, I'm not a big Creighton guy. I respect their program, but to me, it's one of those hated rivalries, and just don't enjoy those guys. I'm not a big Jasker guy, you know?
Well, and there's where I've got friends that went to Creighton.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends who are Jaskers.
No, they went to Creighton and got their degree.
Oh, yeah.
But they've grown up going to Nebraska football games.
Yeah, if you go to Creighton or went to Creighton prep, like, for all means, root for Creighton.
You're kind of forced.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does make sense. The thing I look at this with Nebraska and Creighton, and you told me the line.
Yeah.
The line is what?
4.5.
So Tennessee v. Nebraska, Creighton v. Nebraska, back to parallels here, it's the same number. How are they only favored by 4.5?
I don't know.
And this is what you say when you're not meaning to disrespect somebody, but you're going to disrespect somebody. As much talent and athleticism as I think Nebraska basketball has, when I look at this roster, when I see them play well in stretches, and I'm talking about getting into a flow or not being scared against UCLA, and that sounds trivial and stupid. Oh, you're scared. Listen, that UCLA game showed me a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to bat an eye at Creighton because they know them. And again, they're not going to really bat an eye at Kansas, I don't think, from an intimidation standpoint because they played so well against UCLA 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and UCLA is the best offense in the nation.
Yeah, they are, and they found a way to slow them down. So mm-hmm. Nebraska's defense on the court...
It's been good so far.
It's good. They're mm-hmm. a factor. But offensively, they're a freak show half the time with scoring droughts, with inability to hit from downtown, and they don't have Patrick Ewing to throw it into.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, Webster and Watson, bro, are so good and dynamic, and if they get mm-hmm. hot, they get on, they can go off, and then go off for more than 20. I'm saying they have the ability to have one of those Strickland, Piekowski, Lou-type big games, okay? So I'm not fearful of that, but you're asking a monster performance from two guys to be awesome.
Yeah.
You can get one to do it. Can you get both to do it? And while you're asking, get a third. Can you be different than you have been from the outside? And flipping it around, we'll have Coach Mack on tomorrow. Creighton's just freak show good. Mm-hmm. They are so scary. They are so fast. They are so talented. They are so skilled. I mean, the three-point attempts and the tempo and what they do, it's effortless. They are that amazing. We'll see. It'll be fun to see back in March just who's actually better at the end of the year, Creighton or Kansas. There's that type of athletes, and I know Kansas is sick, okay? Mm-hmm. I know they are. But, I mean, Creighton has the ability to ramp up and be that good. So we're playing the Would You game. You can find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ Henning. Would you take a bowl win over Tennessee, or would you take a win for Nebraska basketball over Creighton? You can have just one. So think about that. Interesting, as we'll get into the college football playoff with Mike Leach, get what he thinks about the selection committee in 1 hour from now. I look at this radar of hate, and I'm going to combine two sports again. One, where's Creighton on that radar of hate for you? And it can be basketball or football, too. Are you caught up in this cloud of, well, screw Creighton, don't like them? You hating them because you ain't them? I mean, they've had more success. They've kind of owned you. They've been great at it. They've blown you out. And now they're in a major conference, so it may not hurt or look as bad compared to the Valley days, because that's the other thing that you kind of scoffed at. I know you Nebraska fans. I've sat by you growing up, and it's okay. That superiority complex, it's fine. It's okay to have that. That means you're a good program or a good school. But you just didn't pay much attention to them because, yay, go beat Wichita State, or yay, go take down Southern Illinois, or whoever the hell was in the Valley.
Well, and this is a discussion between all my friends. Is the current Big East a power conference in basketball?
Yes. They're the defending national champions, ranked number one right now.
I have them in the middle of nowhere land between a power conference and the mid-majors.
Now, ask them after they work you by 40, somebody from their conference
could.
In the NCAA tournament.
But I can't go from the way the old Big East was to look at it now.
The old Big East with, come on, man. Apples and oranges, and that was great.
That was awesome.
That was a lot of fun. Radar of hate, though. Is Creighton up there in your seven circles of hell like Texas? Is it up there with Colorado? Is it up there with you're a Packer fan, your hate for the Vikings, and vice versa?
Up there with Iowa.
Yeah. Is Creighton in that same breath for you as Iowa? Different sports, but same cold, steely grin and glare you give. I just don't hate Creighton. I just don't pay attention to them. And until Nebraska does something against them and is competitive, like really competitive, against one of their elite teams, talk to me when it gets to that point. That's my thought. Tomorrow night's going to rock.
Yeah.
Guys are jacked for it. Coach Miles had his press conference today, and some players showed up too, and we'll have some of that audio perhaps for you later, or we'll re-air some of it for you tomorrow before we talk to Coach Mack. And Coach and Andy Markowski is going to be with us too. So that'll be good. But I don't pay attention, nor do I care. It's not that I don't follow or cover basketball. I'm either there or glued to it. I want to see Nebraska basketball recapture that feeling, that fury, and that momentum and that joy that they had 3 years ago. Because as much as you love football, nothing beats when the basketball team's rolling. It's kind of expected that your football team rolls. In basketball, when they get hot, when they're on, everybody wants to go, and it's the best thing in the world. And that's been the feeling. Because it's new, it's different, it's not expected, and it's a surprise. And when that's happening, this town jumps on the bandwagon, and some of you are driving the bandwagon, so you're not yuppie Cub fan, you're part of it. and you love it. And I've seen it happen in my life where the 91 season happens. They win the Big 8 tournament in 94. The Lou year. And even, I think, Markowski's senior year when they swept Kansas. That happened, actually, yeah. The city of Lincoln and the state of Nebraska becomes amazing basketball fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such...
That No Sit Sunday it's a reminder.
Yeah, it's just a joyous feeling. So we'll see if this is a tipping point, but do you take a bowl win or a Creighton win by Nebraska if you could just pick one? It's kind of like the Super Salad Lunch combo. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, off and running. Mitch Sherman will talk some college football with us. That'll be exciting. I want to remind you about HailVarsity.com. Your chance sometime today to get a six-month premium online subscription. And we'll give one of those away. What do you get with this online subscription to HailVarsity.com? How about inside info? How about premium content? How about the mother of all communities for you, the Nebraska fan, plus breaking news? And that content is for you. So be listening for your chance with the online subscription we'll give away to HailVarsity.com. Also, the holiday Hail Mary coming up. Mitch Sherman next with Hail Varsity Radio.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird will be back on Thursday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. 1 hour from now, our favorite pirate, Mike Leach, will be with us. Holiday Hail Mary coming up this hour and next. And he may have blown out candles already, but we welcome in Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and magazine at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Mitch, happy day. How are you?
I'm doing well. Being another year older. How are you, Chris?
I'm not there yet, but I'm doing well too. What are the birthday plans tonight?
I've had kind of a full day already, so you know, I'm double the age of 21, which is a unique birthday in its own right, as I remember. And apparently the karma has been at work since shortly after midnight, because my 10-year-old daughter was outside of our room vomiting on the floor at 1 a.m., followed by another bout at 5 a.m., and the six-month-old puppy running free out a sliver of the door after the newspaper SUV at 5:20. And by the good graces of my neighbor, who happened to be backing out of her garage for whatever reason at 5:20, I was able to save the life of my dog before he wandered off into the dark in the 20-degree weather. So, you know, it was an eventful start to the birthday and has been somewhat normal since. We're going to enjoy a nice evening at home. It's my son's birthday, too. He's turning 6, so...
All right.
Ever since he was born, we celebrate his birthday and not mine.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. And your puppy and my puppy need to get together and go to obedience, it sounds like, so...
He's been, mine has been, but I guess it didn't work.
No.
He can sit, but
if you get a treat.
Not when you want him to, I guess, because I found out this morning.
I like that.
It didn't work. The command did not work.
No, there you go, Mitch. All right, let's talk Nebraska here, and first get your thoughts on the bowl matchup. You've seen a lot of college football. Is this favorable for Nebraska down in Music City?
Not especially. I mean, I think you can always find reasons why bowl games look good on paper. And the SEC, no doubt, has been down this year. And I think you could even say Tennessee as an 8-4 team out of the SEC is not formidable because of its record. But you are getting a home team, so to speak. It'd be like Nebraska playing a bowl game in Omaha if there were a stadium to handle that. And so, yeah, Nashville for the Vols is good. And I think the thing that you don't want to overlook also is Tennessee's got a veteran guy, Joshua Dobbs, who is going to want to end his career on a high note. And this is not Josh Rosen from a year ago, who was an ultra-talented kid, but a true freshman who didn't have anywhere near the urgency that Dobbs is going to have in this final game before his home state fans, so, or at least the home state of his school. So, you know, and I don't want to make it all about the quarterbacks. There probably are some similarities in the matchup to what Nebraska had a year ago with UCLA, but not at that premier position. I would think Nebraska is going to get a great effort from Tennessee. There's urgency with that program.
No.
Next year, no matter what happens in this game. So, the matchup is one that I think, just looking at it real quick, favors the Vols.
You mentioned urgency, and Coach Riley showing some urgency with his coaching staff, able to get Dante Williams on staff. He's already out recruiting, and you've covered recruiting a long time as well. Your thoughts on this hire and this move, and then the profile of Coach Williams?
Well, yeah, what you said, what I know about him is that he's the guy with California roots and is a strong recruiter. Kids seem to be drawn to him in the way that they are a few of the other young guys on the Nebraska staff, especially on that. Well, I wouldn't say only on the defensive side, because Keith Williams is perhaps the most dynamic recruiter on the Nebraska staff, and he's on the offensive side. But I'm thinking like Trent Bray and John Perella are young, dynamic recruiters on the defensive side of the ball, and I think he fits in really well with those guys, not just in the recruiting battlefield, but out there on Saturdays too, at least, you know, the early reports about him. I'm interested to see the way Nebraska is going to structure its responsibilities. We've heard, of course, passing game coordinator, in some way, shape, or form, he's going to be involved with the secondary. So does that mean that Mark Banker goes all the way back to where he was 2 years ago and it's just a walk around D.C., or does he stay somewhat involved with the secondary too? I mean, you have a chance with Nebraska in 2017, I think, to have one of the better secondaries in the country, even though you lose Nate Gary. So the number of guys who are coming back, those corners, the Williams guys at safety, it's shaping up to be a really good group, and a group now that seems to have outstanding coaching.
Hey, Mitch, I want to go back to the bowl games, where I think there are a lot of really good matchups. I'm just curious, the matchup you'd be most interested in watching besides the two playoff games?
The Rose Bowl stands out to me for sure. other than Alabama, probably the two hottest teams in the country, Penn State and USC. Mm-hmm. Now, would they beat on a neutral site bowl matchup? Would they beat Washington, Ohio State, or Clemson? And I know the Penn State fans are clearing their throats and saying we already did. Mm-hmm. But you know, play that game again, play it at a bowl setting. I think Ohio State probably beats both of those teams, and maybe the same for Clemson and Washington. So it's not like it's number two and three in the country in my eyes behind Alabama, because there's no question about number one. But one of these teams has won 8 in a row, one has won 9 in a row. You're talking about a couple of coaches going back to this topic that we talked about a few minutes ago with Butch Jones, a couple of coaches who in September were appearing to be in trouble, and now they seem to be able to write their own checks with what their futures are at these schools, at least if the trends through this season continue. So Penn State and USC to me really shapes up as an attractive game, and you put it in that Rose Bowl setting, and there is no grander setting in all of college football, and it's a great one on January 2nd.
Can the Big Ten damage their highly achieved rep for 2016 with some, if they don't go 500 or better in the bowl games?
Well, I don't think it has to be 500 or better. It can't be 0-10 or, you know, 1-9. But, I put a lot more value in what happens over the course of 14 weeks than I do in bowl matchups, which are often misaligned between conferences. The Big Ten has done a great job, and Jim Delaney has done a great job of negotiating bowl spots for the Big Ten, where in a lot of cases the Big Ten has the lower place team, so you're playing in a more premier bowl setting than what it might appear related to your finish in the conference. For instance, Minnesota in the Holiday Bowl against Washington State, which was a team that was playing for the Pac-12 North in the last week of the season. There are some other matchups like that too, where you might not favored the Big Ten, but all in all, clearly it was a better league than the league it's matched against in throughout the year. So 500 is always the goal. I think anytime the Big Ten, with the way that its matchups, the way that its bowl pairings work, 500 is a good finish for the Big Ten. But then How you get to 500 also matters. If Michigan beats Florida State, if Nebraska beats Tennessee, if Iowa wins its bowl game, then those are nice feathers in your cap, then better than Maryland or Indiana. So I don't think there's going to be much that changes about the profile of the league in 2016 based on how the bowl season goes.
About 3 minutes, Mitch. Do you think there's argument for expansion of the postseason, the playoffs? Where do you come down on that? You had four in. You have other arguments to be made that got left out, be it Penn State, Michigan, USC. And you have four right now, and it looks like it'll be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I'm okay with where it's at. I think there will come a time and the right place to expand it, whether that's to six or to eight. But there's always going to be the teams that were left out that have complaints. It's that way in basketball, and you've got 65 teams, so or 67, 68, whatever it is now. No matter the number of teams in the playoffs, there will be gripes. I think, and this was said when it went from two to four, that you have to be careful about the damage you can do to the regular season, and it hasn't really hurt the regular season to have a four-team playoff. If anything, it's bettered the regular season because more teams are alive later in the year. But the larger you get with your pool of playoff teams, I think past a certain point, and maybe that magic number is four, maybe it's six, there is that chance to do some damage. I don't think you want to have the Ohio State-Michigan game on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the way it was played this year. I don't think you want to go into that knowing that both teams are in the playoff no matter the outcome of that game. So I would caution college football fans who cry for an expanded playoff to consider that. But then in the same breath, I'll say that I think there will come a time when it goes to two or four more teams.
Hey, got about 90 seconds, and since you've been covering the Big 12 a lot this year, I want to get your thoughts on Baylor's hiring of Temple coach Matt Rhule.
Yeah, I mean, outside the box, and I think it's crazy as it sounds, Baylor was talking to Mike Gundy yesterday, or so reports indicate, and it's hard to know if Gundy was trying to shove that into the face of Boone Pickens. You know, I don't think that's a good guy to play chicken with. If he was, they've had their little skirmishes through the years, and this year being no exception. So when I heard that he was looking at it, I thought that's just kind of a joke, but it seemed to have some legitimacy. And Matt Rhule is a guy who's done wonders at Temple. To take Temple to consecutive 10-win seasons is similar to what Bill Snyder did over a much longer period of time at Kansas State. So you get a little Bill Snyder flavor, I think, added to the league. It's a huge challenge and a unique challenge for Matt Rhule to go into Baylor, where you've got 53 players on scholarship coming back and, you know, really nothing to work with from this 2017 recruiting class. I think it would have been to the short-term and maybe long-term benefit of Baylor to hire a guy with Texas roots, and he has none. But they were impressed with him, and there's no question he's a good coach.
30 seconds. Does Baylor have a no-mullet policy?
Maybe that was it. Maybe he got to the final round of interviews, and they said, okay, are you prepared to shave your mullet? And Gundy... You know, Jake Trotter wrote an awesome story, if people haven't read it, last week on ESPN.com about Mike Gundy's mullet. And if you want to see quotes from Billy Ray Cyrus and Baker Mayfield and everybody who could possibly comment on Mike Gundy's hair, go find that story. If it was on any site, I would be highly recommending it. So maybe that was why it didn't work out for Gundy at Baylor. I don't know.
Deal breaker. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, we'll catch up next week. Take care, and thanks for your time today.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Awesome stuff. There we go. Mitch Sherman, love him. Appreciate his time. Safe driving and demand your full attention. One of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. 30 minutes away, Rick Pizzo. Shortly after 5:20, the Pirate Mike Leach. Chang on with Hail Varsity.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for hanging out. Hope you're well. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Katie Martin, Madonna Proactive, is in...
What's happening?
Good to see you. Now, listen, we got a ton of things to cover with Madonna Proactive. Great article on ESPN.com when it comes to enhancing your skill set and ability for pro athletes. Steph Curry, Michael Jordan. You have some strobe glasses from Nike in here.
So these strobe glasses are incredible, and I would encourage all of the listeners to go check out what this technology can do. Steph Curry took his shooting ability to a whole new level, basically, with the ability to train his neuromuscular patterns, because you can't always see what's going on with the flash of light. So we use these. Now we're wondering, you know, I'm not Steph Curry. Junior's not Steph Curry yet, right?
He's warming up to Steph with Katie over there, but yes.
So the question is, how do we use them here in Lincoln?
How do you use them at Madonna?
So we use them at Madonna in our sports performance facility. So it's athlete enhancement. And for me, I've actually used them for golf.
Really?
Basketball's awesome. And baseball. Baseball's huge. If you think about it, these strobes are closing your sight, so you have to train your brain. It's like Michael Jordan shooting a free throw with his eyes closed.
It's muscle memory.
Muscle memory. And you can do all sorts of different exercises with them. You can do catching a baseball. I was swinging a golf club, which I thought was awesome. Basketball's a good one. Did you ever practice basketball with those old school white half moon?
They didn't let me shoot.
Oh, man. I remember my dribbling exercises, and everybody felt like you just looked like a clown wearing these half
moons. But it helped.
And these are taking what we know as those half moon goggles that we all wore in JV basketball to a whole different level with the strobes.
So they're strobe glasses, part of sports performance, Madonna sports performance. And Lance Milner, so you can get a shout out to over there at Madonna. Also can go talk to Katie, but think about it. And as you have kids, or you yourself maybe are rec basketball guy, whatever. So you want to be awesome. You want bragging rights. You want to be good. You want to enhance your skill set. And the goggles, the glasses that Katie has on here, and Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, MJ did them. It trained your muscle memory, so it is just kind of like second nature.
Mm-hmm,
the
exactly.
Shooting, the movement, hitting a baseball, obviously the golf swing. I'm going to get some of those for my golf swing. and of course, when it comes to basketball. So just to kind of paint this picture for you, they look like normal Nike, sweet-looking sunglasses. They've got the old... who wore goggles? Kareem strap on the back, but they're not brutal. And then
maybe a little Moses.
Yeah, a little Moses. Better call. Yeah, Moses Malone. Moses Malone strap on the back. And then they just blink. And mm-hmm. then they eliminate light. So you're having to use the force.
I mean, exactly.
Be extremely dialed in. And it's sports performance with Madonna Proactive. Tell me a little bit the brainchild of... We know about Madonna when it comes mm-hmm. to working out, lifting weights, swimming, yoga, exercise, wellness, all the things you offer at Madonna Proactive, and, of course, Madonna Rehabilitation, helping folks too. You do that, but now you're taking on a great endeavor with performance, and that's just one more thing you provide the community.
Absolutely. So sports performance is it's its own niche inside of the health and fitness center, and Lance is our sports performance manager. He does a great job with athletes ages 12 to probably mid-60s.
These can help with golf any age, right?
Absolutely. Well, you toss in the goggles, but then what they also have back there are treadmills that go up to about a 40-degree angle and upwards of almost 30 miles per hour. So you're looking
That's intense.
I know. I've done it. So you can hit a mile-per-hour club. And the mile-per-hour club for the girls is 17 miles per hour, and for the boys it's 19 miles per hour, and that's working on speed training. And when you talk about speed training, they also talk about how to properly lift. And for the athletes of today, you know, you don't just want to be fast, but you want to also prevent those injuries like your ACLs. This is a great way to be able to not only get, as I like to think, bigger, stronger, better, faster, but to also be preventative of your injuries.
That's the way to do it. Now, you have some holiday specials. 'Tis the season to give. And you have some sessions here at Madonna Sports Performance. Also, I'm sure there's no time like the present to get involved with Madonna Proactive when it comes to post-Thanksgiving, post-Christmas ham.
How have your workouts been?
I went four times over the Thanksgiving holiday.
Hey, that's solid.
It didn't help because I went eight times to the buffet table, but I tried to stalemate.
No, I'd say you did quite well. Well, as it relates to the strobes, if you purchase 15 sessions by the end of December for sports performance, we're putting all of those people into a drawing for the strobes, which is pretty awesome. I think on eBay, they're upwards of about $500 to $1,000. So that's a pretty awesome deal. If you just want to, you know, go for the 10 sessions, you also receive two free. So 'tis the season, as you mentioned, to find some great deals and to boost up your athletes towards the end of the year. At the Health and Fitness Center, it's join now and pay nothing until January. Mm. And then we also have some awesome perks going on there with personal training specials, which, you know, you could probably get one of those, Schmitty.
Yeah, I should think about that. That's been hinted before. And, I mean, tell me a little bit about the personal trainer here. You know them, you've used them, and you're part of the group with them when it comes to just taking care of your body and being very, well, disciplined with doing it. And about the teamwork and partnership aspect of it is what I'm kind of getting at,
yeah,
that the trainer can provide.
So for me, you know, I've worked at a health and fitness center for 10 years, but it doesn't always mean I'm great at what I'm doing. So I really like to do a refresher with a personal trainer. They can give you great ideas of how to boost your workout, how to change your workout. So you're not always doing the right thing, and or you're not always doing the same thing, and then
sure,
you get into a rut. Or maybe you have a new goal for 2017, like a 10K, and you want to learn how to do that and do that safely. I think those are always a great way to use a personal trainer. When it comes to the sports performance team, they are strength and conditioning specialists, so they also are taking that athlete training to a new level. And I mean, I'll go ahead and say I've worked through this whole program, and I never thought I could be as fast as I was, and I'm not that fast right now. But 19 miles per hour, you know, and post-collegiate, I
sure
thought was pretty awesome. So those are some fun ways that you can use a trainer.
We're going to get a picture up on Twitter and on Facebook, and we'll get a picture of Katie Martin here from Madonna Proactive with these goggles on, the Nike Vapor Strobe training glasses. It's helped her with golf. Folks have used them for baseball and of course, for basketball. It's something that if you log on ESPN.com, Steph Curry, Kawhi Leonard, Michael Jordan, they've all done it. The concept of wearing them while you're practicing specific sports makes that brain of yours work harder, fill in that missing data. It's the blinking and flashing that kind of makes you focus a little more. Katie, hang out. We get a picture of the strobe glasses. Want to remind you, Madonna Proactive, the sports performance. Please look into that. Please look into Madonna Proactive for what you're doing when it comes to holiday workouts and beyond. And, of course, research those great folks with the health and wellness. We'll continue on after this.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
So, Katie Martin, Madonna Proactive, is in. Happy holidays to her and you. DJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Mike Leach, the Pirate, 30 minutes away. Now, Katie was kind enough to bring in these Nike Vapor Strobe training glasses as a added bonus when you sign up for what Madonna Sports Performance is doing for you. 15 sessions. You can enter to win a drawing for these Nike Vapor Strobe training glasses. Your kid's going to be asking about it. You might as well sign up and say, hey, because I don't know about you, but well, Dan, there's this new batting glove, so I need a new. Now, why don't you hit, okay, before we spend more cake on batting gloves? Got a text from Junior. He's not texting and driving because he can't drive, but apparently he's in the back seat somewhere listening to Hail Varsity. Good for you, Junior. You don't have to clean your room today. So we're talking about the athletes that use these strobe training glasses, the same type of training and treatment you'll get at Madonna Sports Performance from a kind of a blueprint with basketball. I mean, you're going to use some of the same drills that, Kawhi Leonard's using,
ball
that Steph Curry, ball handling, that Jordan used. And he's like, well, you made a comment about, well, Curry. And we like Curry. We respect Curry in the room.
Sure.
Junior's not a Curry guy. And he
Who's
sends,
his man?
Oh, of course, it's Durant. So Junior sent this emoji of a trash basket and Curry. Yeah.
All right.
And he said Westbrook's better.
Ah, all right. So Westbrook's his man. You know.
No, he's a Durant, and he's a Westbrook, and he's anti-Curry for some reason.
Oh, but will he support the Warriors?
Of course.
All right.
It's more gear to buy.
Okay.
So, but you know that Westbrook also uses these strobe training glasses.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, ball handling is ball handling. Everybody's using the latest and greatest
technology. I'm just going to say, Junior, if Durant's not using these strobe training glasses, he needs to. So it's not, you know, a 7-30 game in game 7. That's all I'm saying.
It leads you to believe that Klay Thompson can hit, you know.
And Thompson uses these
60
too.
And 60 and 30?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that right? 60 and 30 leads you to believe that he's probably using those strobes too.
The average time he had, you want to talk muscle memory? 90 seconds.
Great point.
They did the math on his catch and shoot.
It's crazy to think
90
about
90 seconds.
It's how much he touched the ball last night,
yeah.
Scoring 60 points.
Yes.
Yes. It's insane.
That's incredible. And that's muscle memory. I mean, he is just locked and loaded and ready to go. He's ready to fire before that ball.
That's
even,
incredible.
You know, comes in, hits his hand. So what's next for you guys?
Well, we are getting loaded up. Rick Pizzo's coming up, Big Ten Network.
Excellent.
Big Ten Buffet. Get his thoughts on Big Ten football, some Husker hoops. Mike Leach will join us next hour. The Pirate. We always get into some crazy conversation. We had the discussion about Santa and where he lives. A year, we talk to Coach Leach 4 or 5 times a year, but we always have a fun Christmas discussion. So we'll get into that with him. Kevin Suit's going to be with us, our main dude over at 10-11. So loaded up next hour. Should we take care of some folks holiday-wise? TJ's like, yeah, shut up and get this contest going. Caller 6 now for the Holiday Hail Mary. You qualify now. You'll qualify next hour. Then what happens? We'll give it away the 16th. What do you get? Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet valued at $499. Jet Splash Car Wash certificate for $100 and a remote car starter installed from Auto Sounds of Lincoln, $449. You can log on ESPN1480.com for the website. That means shut up and go. Okay, caller 6 now.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Hey, my name!
Hey, my name!
We get better,
blessed!
We get better, blessed!
We get
beat, beat!
We get beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmitz and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back to an hour two. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Coach Mike Leach coming up. Let's get caught up, though. Big Ten Buffet, Mr. Rick Pizzo. Mr. Rick, how are we doing?
I'm doing fine, as long as I don't have to have one more conversation with Penn State fans about Ohio State and Washington being in. Listen, understand the Nittany Lions have a legitimate beef. I think that beef is more with Washington than it is with Ohio State.
I do, too. I absolutely agree with you on that. I'm going to put myself in Penn State fans' shoes for a second, going back 20-plus years where they were unbeaten and left out in the national championship discussion. Nebraska won it. This year is obviously not good for them when it comes to playing for all of it. They did what they were supposed to do, except lose fewer than two. That's how I see it. Is that kind of where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we can measure the metrics all we want. We can rank strength of schedule. We can consider head-to-head and conference championships. Those latter two, by the way, always considered by the committee to be tiebreakers only. But at the end of the day, the four teams that are in the playoff are the only Power 5 teams that have 0 or 1 loss. Everybody else has 2 losses. And so I think the biggest issue that comes out of this is the inclusion of Washington maybe encourages a weaker non-conference strength of schedule, because the Huskies played absolutely no one And so the conversation that people have been having with me is this: what if Penn State plays Eastern Washington like Washington did instead of Pitt, and that Penn State team is 11-1 instead of 10-2 heading into the Big Ten championship game, and they do what they do? Did they get in over Washington? And the answer is absolutely, because the Big Ten is the strongest league, and Ohio State gets in as an at-large, and Penn State gets in as the Big Ten champ. So that's my biggest issue with the inclusion of Washington, is where Penn State fans have a beef. They played a harder non-conference, and they got punished for it.
Rick Pizzo, a few minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, overall, let's talk Nebraska for a second. First, your reaction to them headed to Nashville to kind of label 2016. What did you think of the Big Red?
You know, I think at day's end, Chris, unfortunately, I would almost say that it was a little bit of a disappointment because of the way that it ended. I mean, I loved the start. I loved taking the Wisconsin down to the wire on the road. But when things went off the rails, they went off the rails really quickly. And it's hard not to think of what happened against Ohio State and what happened against Iowa at the end of the year. It's really hard not to think about those two games kind of defining what Nebraska was at the end of the year, because that's how you remembered. And you look back on their wins early in the year, the win over Oregon seemed great at the time, kind of became a bit devalued, right? So I think this bowl game becomes remarkably important for this season and how this season, how year two of the Mike Riley era will truly be judged.
The word I used yesterday was validation. With all due respect, nice wins against Oregon. The value part is 1,000% correct. You beat Minnesota, you beat Northwestern. You were almost there against Wisconsin, but you really haven't beat anybody. And Tennessee, I know they've underachieved. They still bring some sizzle, a lot of athletes on that field. Two similar programs, really, when you look at how quickly they rose up the ranks, how they started. And then what's your take? What do you know about Coach Jones and the Vols?
Well, listen, they're remarkably talented. I mean, they are just so underperforming this year. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they have lost part of this team, the coaching staff. We've seen a couple of transfers. I mean, obviously, Jalen Hurd was the biggest name, but they lost another player midseason who announced he would transfer. I'm sure they're going to lose more during the offseason. I mean, Butch Jones put out some crazy tweets, you know, not to worry about our record because the team is already champions of life. Who knows what on earth that means? But they are very talented. We saw last year they played Northwestern in a bowl game and just absolutely annihilated the Wildcats. So, you know, it was 2 years ago. So this is a team that has a ton of talent, a team that I think a lot like Nebraska heads into the postseason thinking that this is a game that can help change the perspective on what the year is for them and how it is judged on the outside.
Let's talk Big Ten bowl matchups, and you have USC and Penn State, arguably the two hottest teams in college football, not named Bama, Florida, and Iowa, and I think Iowa absolutely deserves the Outback. They finished really strong. Michigan and Florida State, man, it's just loaded, and the Big Ten's gotten a lot of cred this year, deservedly so. That said, do you think the narrative will change if the Big Ten goes 500 or below in their bowl matchups?
Not necessarily, because I think everyone understands that these are some really tough bowl matchups. I think the Penn State-USC matchup is pretty tough for Penn State just because USC is so talented in the secondary, and that's where Penn State found all of its success against Wisconsin was through the year. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do that against a secondary that includes guys like Adoree Jackson, who may be the best defensive back in the entire country. I think Michigan, when they face Florida State, will face probably the most athletic team that they've seen all year. I think the Noles may even be more athletic, more speed than Ohio State. Dalvin Cook is a tremendous running back. I think Francois is a quarterback who we don't talk enough about, and their defense really got shored up at the end of the year after that Clemson game. I think the Iowa matchup is good for the Hawkeyes. And then you look at Wisconsin in the Cotton Bowl, and it's one of those nothing-to-gain-everything-to-lose matchups against Western Michigan. I think the Badgers will be prepared, but again, they'll be expected to beat a MAC team, and the Broncos come with a chip on their shoulder. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it would necessarily devalue the year. Certainly the league can't afford to go 3-7, But if you go 500 and you have a couple of quality wins, you know, namely a couple of New Year's Six wins, and obviously the national semifinal against Clemson would be huge, then I think the league validates the year that it had.
Ohio State's matchup against Clemson, we'll get into it as we get closer, but at first glance, is this a good matchup for Ohio State? Their secondary is awesome.
Yeah, their secondary is very good, and I think that's really important. I think this is a good matchup for Ohio State on the defensive side. I know Deshaun Watson can get out of the pocket and make things happen, but Ohio State has a couple of things going for them defensively. They're very good on the defensive line against the run. They're very good from a linebacker perspective in terms of the speed sideline to sideline. Raekwon McMillan is terrific, and I think he'll be the spy on Deshaun Watson. But where they are the best, without question, is in that secondary. Lattimore and Hooker have been absolutely fantastic. And when Clemson can do its damage, it does most of it through the air. They have a couple of fantastic wide receivers that Watson keys in on. Unlike most teams, I think Ohio State can defend those receivers one-on-one, man-to-man, and that allows the rest of the defense to put pressure on Watson. You've got to get that guy out of his comfort zone.
Let's talk Purdue for a minute, and Brohm has hired some kind of raise eyes at the amount next to this contract, but to get somebody of his quality, you're going to spend to get it. Do you think he can bring Purdue back to the Tiller era? That's a lofty expectation, but that goal is what they're spending the money for.
Yep, they're spending the money, and I think that's the key. Not only are they spending the money on Brohm, but they've announced the assistant coach's salary pool is $3.5 million, and that is among the best. That is with the elite teams. That is no longer trying to pinch pennies with your staff, so Brohm's going to get who he wants. Even more importantly, they are undergoing some major facilities renovations that is actually going to bring Purdue on par with other teams in the Big Ten. And don't forget, with what Indiana is going through right now, with their coaching transition and the he said, he said about Kevin Wilson and what he did or didn't do to some players, and you name Tom Allen, who's a very good football coach and a guy with a ton of credibility, but who doesn't have that kind of it factor, this may be the perfect time for Purdue to make a lot of inroads in recruiting. Brohm made no secret of the fact that they have to draw a three-hour circle, a radius around Purdue, and own that area for recruiting. If there's ever a time that they can do that, especially against Indiana, that time may be right now.
Is Notre Dame vulnerable at all? I mean, and this may be a stupid question, but they have not had great years. You mentioned Purdue's, Indiana's transition. Can they really, truly, for the first time ever, lock down the state of Indiana?
I don't know that they can lock it down, but if you ask me, can they get some guys that may be considering Notre Dame as well that they wouldn't have gotten in the past? The answer is going to be yes, because Notre Dame is going through a lot of the same stuff. I mean, Brian Kelly has been under fire. You have all these cheating situations. You have a lot of stuff that's very un-Notre Dame-like. And so if you're a good student and there are institutions that offer a lot of the same programs and you want to stay close to home and you're a good athlete now, those four- and five-star guys probably go toward Notre Dame, or then they choose Ohio State. But there's going to be a lot of three-star guys out there that you need to fill your roster, and Purdue's lost out on a lot of those guys. Michigan State has shown it. Iowa has shown it. Wisconsin has shown it. You can take two- and three-star guys and, with the right coaching, turn them into four- and five-star college players, and I think that's exactly what Jeff Brohm and his staff are going to try to do.
Real quick, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Early returns in on the Big Ten basketball season. How do you think the conference is shaping up? Specifically, Nebraska, a big one with Creighton tomorrow night. They have Kansas this weekend, so opportunity there for Coach Miles. But the league and then Nebraska, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, well, I think the league right now has to kind of reset itself after the Big Ten ACC Challenge and going 5-9. The ACC is expected to get maybe as many as 10 teams into the NCAA tournament, so let's not overreact to that. I still think that Wisconsin, Indiana, very good, top-heavy inside the league. Those two teams are going to be really hard to beat. I love what Michigan has done early. I think that Northwestern is a great story, and if they stay healthy, could actually snap that streak and get back to the NCAA tournament. For Nebraska, I need to see more. I need to see what this team is going to look like and if they're going to have secondary scoring when they play against some of the best teams in this conference. I do not think the way they are built right now that they are an NCAA tournament team, but as I've said before, I don't think that is a realistic goal every year in Lincoln. If you can get to the NIT, get back to the postseason, and every couple of years, every third year you get that NCAA tournament bid, I think you're doing what is expected with that program as it sits right now. I'm not saying that forever. I'm just saying as it sits right now.
Now, the expectation being contention. 30 seconds. How is the Pizzo holiday shopping going?
Well, you would have to ask Mrs. Pizzo, because over the last 3 weeks, I have logged more hours in the office and on the road than I care to try to add up. So Mrs. Pizzo has been doing all of the searching. All I know is that when Christmas rolls around, there's a very good chance that Santa Claus lands in Deerfield, Illinois, and that's all my kids care about.
There we go. Papa of the Year, Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. Rick, we'll catch up soon. Thanks for your time, man.
Sounds great, Chris. Always good to talk with you.
Good to talk to Pizzo, a little Big Ten Buffet. Why not? We are T-minus 6 minutes from the Pirate, Mike Leach. We may get into some regifting ideas or what constitutes regifting with Mike Leach. We'll ask him about the college football playoff and whatever else we want to get into with the Pirate. But thanks to Rick Pizzo. Thanks to Zipline Brewing. Zipline Brewing is incredible. Zipline Brewing has a couple of locations for you. In Lincoln, the original tap room on West O. Zipline Brewing, the new German beer hall. 56th and Pine Lake. 24 taps, modern German beer hall. It's a neighborhood and community you want to be a part of. You'll sit on next to someone you don't know. Even if you're not a people person, you'll become a people person. Everyone's in a great mood. Everyone's happy. And it's right here in Lincoln, brewed in Lincoln, poured for Nebraska. Your friends at Zipline. And holiday ideas when it comes to Zipline. Their winter ale, released last week, now on the market, along with the barrel-aged barley wine. Also, limited edition barrel-aged barley wine verticals for sale in that locally wooden, made wooden case that includes bottles of 2014, 2015, and 2016 barley wines, and also tons of Christmas items, holiday items, Zipline shirts, hoodies, stocking hats, beard oil. I'm working on that. I got a beard rocking. And if you can't pick, just do a gift card from your friends at Zipline. The tap room hours at 56th and Pine Lake, Monday through Saturday, noon to 10, Sunday, noon to 6. And if you're outside Lincoln, Western, Central, Northeast, Southeast Nebraska, and you're making your way this way for the holidays, find your way to Zipline and find some Zipline. Draft or six packs available across the state at your local grocery store or bottle shop. And come say hi to your friends at Zipline this holiday season. Okay, the topic that we started on HailVarsity.com, premium message board. Would you rather? And it constitutes Nebraska football win, Nebraska basketball win. You take a win over Creighton, if that means you lose the bowl game. You take a bowl win over Tennessee, if that means losing the Creighton game. Just for disclosure purposes, the point spread is the same for each right now, -4.5. More folks weighing in. You can do so also at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning. Mike Babcock jumping in. Love Babbers. It's Nebraska football comes first. But Babbers poses this question. They meant losing the bowl game or winning another volleyball championship. That's kind of a no-brainer, depending on your loyalties. Some across the window are diehard basketball fans, so they're all into basketball. We'll talk some volleyball, Nebraska-Penn State. We'll talk some Nebraska-Creighton. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports, 15 minutes away. But it's Mike the Pirate, Coach Mike Leach, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Our favorite Pirate head coach, Mike Leach, Washington State. Coach, Merry Christmas. How you doing?
Merry Christmas to you. It's good to be on again. And it's snowy here in Eastern Washington, but kind of gets everybody set for the holidays. We'll still be out there practicing, sometimes in it and sometimes in the indoor.
Got to be thrilled about San Diego. Good bowl game. Holiday Bowl's a fun place.
Always been one of my favorite bowls. I like all the bowls I've ever been to. Great thing about San Diego is you're right across you got the ocean on one side and right across the street from the Gas Lamp District, which is by the ballpark and all those great places down there. So it's a heck of a place to just walk around and hang out.
Well, I got to ask the holiday gift question. Hypothetically, if you get a Cubs jersey, a Chicago Cubs jersey as a holiday gift, do you keep it? Do you re-gift it?
If I get a Cubs jersey, and I wanted the Cubs to lose, and there's no question, because I was enjoying the curse, and I wanted the curse to go on longer. I have the utmost respect for what the Cubs achieved. I have the utmost respect for their manager, Madden. I love the way he manages. I think he might be the best manager in baseball. I tend to follow managers more than teams. And I'm not one of those people that believes you just go riot because things don't go your way. Like, you know, if whoever you wanted to win an election, say just a hypothetical situation, say if somebody who you wanted to win an election, well, if it didn't go that way, I don't think you go out there and riot. I think you campaign for your person harder next time. So I didn't do any rioting. And I would probably re-gift the jersey because I got so many diehard Cub fans that it would be very meaningful to them to have a Cubs jersey. And I probably would re-gift it, and then it would be because it would there's some people that it would really elevate and really be meaningful to.
I can't imagine you rioting. How would Mike Leach riot?
I think a portion of rioting is, I think there's a portion of it where it must actually be kind of fun. Because it certainly doesn't seem to be hard to coax these people to do it. It's like when I was in Berkeley one time, I was in Berkeley recruiting. I mean, then I'm trying to think where I was coaching. I think I was at the University of Kentucky, but we were driving through Berkeley recruiting, and, all the traffic stopped, and there's police out there in riot gear, and there's all these students and people holding hands and centipeding through traffic, and this was years ago. So I rolled down the window, and I said, to one of the people filing through, I said, "Hey, so what's going on?" And the guy says, "I don't know. We're protesting something." And I go, "Really? What are you protesting?" He goes, "I think it has something to do with Nicaragua. I don't know for sure, but it's fun anyway. We just started. Maybe once we get closer to the front, we can find out what we're protesting. But it's pretty fun anyway, and this goes on around here all the time." I mean, there's a point to where some of the protesting is recreational, and for various reasons, I think that people don't particularly care. But anyways, those were happy protesters. Obviously you want to discourage violent protest because that isn't good for anybody.
Mike Leach, a couple more minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, give me the story behind the nickname given to Chris Peterson, the Washington coach, the Bishop. And did Mike Riley ever have a nickname while in the Pac-12?
I'm going to have to think about Mike Riley's nickname. Mike Riley was, I guess, kind of one of the elder statesmen in the Pac-12. And so, you know, you proceeded with respect around him. And he's a fun guy to talk to. Mike Riley's always in a good mood, which is unusual for football coaches. And I don't know how that deal got out on Chris Peterson, because it was kind of quiet talk among coaches. And then somehow I got asked about it before we played him. but I was there when the deal started, and so you know, we're sitting around talking, and Chris Peterson's got a great personality, and you know, and on TV sometimes he looks a little stiff, but he's got a fabulous personality. He's got a great sense of humor, and you know, and we're talking about how, you know, all our parents always told us to act more like guys like Chris Peterson, and, you know, why can't we be more like Chris Peterson, which is a fact. I mean, and so then there's three guys there with Mormon backgrounds, me, Kyle Whittingham, and Gary Anderson. And then before long, we start talking about, you know, how he looks more Mormon than we do, because, you know, he's a very straight-looking guy. And, I mean, that's a compliment. I mean, we've tried to achieve that and evidently failed to, at least according to my parents, I failed to. And then, well, what office would he be in? Well, we all agreed that Chris Peterson would be the bishop, and he looks like a lot of bishops we've had throughout the years. So that's how he became the bishop. I don't know how it leaked out after that, but... you know, he's a very distinguished, upstanding guy and an example to all, which, you know, some qualities that Chris has, I'm going to try to measure up to.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio, the holiday edition. We get caught up here on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, let's talk some college football. The selection committee deemed Bama number one, obviously. Clemson, Ohio State, Washington gets in. You know Washington better than I do. I thought Michigan should have been in. I also thought Penn State had a good argument. I thought the Big Ten had an argument, really good argument for two teams. That didn't happen. Do you like the four that are in, or should it expand?
I think it should definitely expand. I think, you know, I think we're just really playing around unless we have 16 or more. I think it should be 16 or 32 or ideally 64, and I think it could easily be accommodated. 1AA has been having tournaments like this for years and have had a great time doing it. You know, the 1A pretends like they just can't figure it out. Well, they don't understand. Well, how's it going to work? Are the players working too hard? Oh my gosh, I mean, you mean all you do is you just line up and you have a bracket and you just play these games? Yeah, that's all you do, just like all the high schools do, just like every division except for 1A does, and just like the NFL does. That's exactly how you do it. There you go. You know, and I mean, man, it's really as simple as that, and I think everybody would have a ball and fur would fly everywhere and we'd all have a great time. But if you're only going to have four, then I think that nobody from the same conference should be in, because, you know, you already have your biggest, baddest representative in there, and let them carry the glory for that conference. And then, so I think two things. I think only conference champions should be in there, because otherwise why do you have conference championship games? And we sit there in these meetings and have all this rhetoric on, well, the conference championship game, and it's here, and it's there, and how are we going to do this? And it's so meaningful. And plus, you're asking two teams to play an extra game besides, and then jump somebody ahead of them and put them in there. No, I mean, the conference championships, that's what it means, conference champion. That means I'm conference champion, and I get all the marbles. And it doesn't matter if you like it or not, and it doesn't matter if you want an extra game, and it doesn't matter if you won by more points. If you wanted to be conference champion, you should have beat me, but you didn't. And so I get all the stuff that goes along with it. That's how I think it should be. And then and despite the fact that there could be a second team in a conference that may be better than somebody else in the top four, I think you let, you know, your best and brightest representative go, so then you can see the country play against each other in a little more commingled fashion. And I think it clearly, and I mean clearly, illustrates the necessity for more teams in the playoffs. I mean, everybody enjoys this whole playoff thing. Well, let's get more teams in there. And then we got this committee sitting there quizzically looking at each other. How are we going to figure this out? Well, you take the four conference champions from the four best conferences. It's as easy as that. And then I would slightly penalize conferences that don't have a conference championship game. And I would take the conference champions, and then off we'd go. And but I'd add more teams so that we could enjoy this and live it to the fullest.
Mike Leach with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, I know you got to run. I know you're working on a bit of a chest cold. Your go-to flavor for cough syrup?
Go-to flavor? Aren't they all cherry? I don't know. They're all nasty, but all cherry.
There's orange, there's cherry, there's some grape out there. My kid loves, in moderation, of course. So, yeah, there's some options there. Coach, we'll catch up with you after the Holiday Bowl. And thanks for giving us a few minutes. Great to chat.
Yeah, I appreciate it, and it's great to talk to you.
There he is, the Pirate, Mike Leach. Covered a lot there. I kind of like his take on rioting. I don't know. I think we're protesting something in Nicaragua on a recruiting trip from Berkeley. And his playoff stuff's good. I don't know that I can beat Mike Leach in an argument. I like four. I laid it out there. Send your best and brightest. He's a bit annoyed at how undifficult picking the teams can be. Don't blame him, though. Kevin Suits, 10-11 Sports is coming up. A lot of fun with the Pirate. And yes, if he gets a Cubs jersey, Mike Leach will re-gift it. Not because he hates the Cubs, but because someone else will get better use out of it. I didn't know Chris Peterson looked more Mormon-like than Mike Leach. He said it. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN. Or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to the Pirate, Mike Leach. Regifting, nicknames, rioting. College football playoff. At a volleyball game, amazing sportscaster, 10-11 Sports, Kevin Suits with us. Suitsy, happy holidays. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Happy holidays to you as well.
Doing all right, man. We're going to play the game Would You Rather, and it's expanded from basketball win, bowl win, to volleyball championship. You can pick one. What do you pick? Volleyball championship for Nebraska, win over Creighton or Kansas for Nebraska basketball, Husker Bowl win over Tennessee, go.
Volleyball national championship.
It's a national championship. It's a no-brainer. I understand that.
I hesitated for a second thinking, maybe give me one of those basketball wins, Kansas. That'd be monumental if they went down to Lawrence, because they don't lose in Lawrence.
No.
So that would be huge. But again, I'm just going on you don't get a trophy for winning in Lawrence. You get a trophy and a very nice one and a banner to show for it if you win the volleyball national championship.
Could you argue you should get a trophy, though, for winning in Lawrence?
You should get something because, like I said, it doesn't happen. And Bill Self-Senior, oh, boy, their record at home is incredible. And, they got their work cut out for them on Saturday.
They do. All right, Kevin, talk to me a little bit here about the bowl matchup for Nebraska. What do you think here? Is this doable for Nebraska? It's not Bama. It's an SEC East team, though, and both teams are similar with how they finish. Can Nebraska go get this done? A lot of time between now and then, obviously, but first impression is what?
I think it's going to be a really good game. I think that it could be a really fun game, too. Everybody likes the bowl games. You never know what's going to happen. I could see this thing being pretty high scoring. Tennessee, we know they can put up some points. The Volunteers, and what? I looked at some of their scoring totals from the past season, in November alone, they averaged more than 50 points a game. So that defense better be locked in. I think it's doable. You know, this is a runner-up team in a down SEC, you know, and they are on the Florida side of the SEC. So I think that Nebraska can very well go to Nashville and get this victory. And I don't even think that the home crowd thing, I think that might be overstated what that really is. A lot of bowl games come down to motivation. I think the Huskers have a lot to play for, especially, you know, we talked previously about the emotional toll of this season and how it just kept building and building and building. And finally, there was a release, unfortunately, on Black Friday, the day of a game. I think that that emotional thing can kick back in for a one game only situation and play to the Huskers advantage come the end of December.
Kevin Suits with us, 10-11 Sports, Hail Varsity Radio, at Kevin Suits on Twitter. Your thoughts on Creighton, Nebraska tomorrow night. This thing, at least per the folks in Vegas, says it's about a five-point ball game. Creighton's favored. We know the storylines going in. We know how just insanely talented Creighton is. Nebraska, though, will not be intimidated the next couple of games, really, because based on what they did against UCLA. You feel all right about Nebraska being in this, or do you think Creighton's just got too much firepower?
I don't think it's going to be close. I really don't. I hate saying that. I want Nebraska to keep it close. I watched Creighton enough this year that I think that they are a premier team in college basketball this year, and Nebraska has shown splashes. But I think matchup-wise, that's the thing that gets me. Creighton, man, they can shoot it. They're fast. They're athletic. The Nebraska is not athletic, but not to the level of Creighton. I think that Greg McDermott has a really, really nice team this year, and I think that Nebraska, maybe some of that challenging schedule might catch up with them in the wrong way on Wednesday.
Any complaints on the college football playoff?
None. I think it played out too easily for the committee. I was really hoping that Clemson would lose in the ACC championship just to see what would they do. What would they do? You know, if Clemson's not in there, do you throw Michigan in there? Do you throw Penn State in there? Like, I was just kind of – I was wanting something wacky to happen just to force their hand a little bit and make them make a tough decision. But, you know, knowing that going into the championship weekend that they had the top four pretty much lined up for them and it played out that way, you know, Washington won, Clemson won. You knew already that Alabama and Ohio State was going to be in there. So it was an easy selection for them, and I think that there's not many people that can complain about 1-4.
Kevin, most intriguing bowl game that is not the two playoff games?
Good question. I'm going to go with Colorado-Oklahoma State.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what Oklahoma State looks like in a month, knowing that they played well for about three quarters in their regular season finale against Oklahoma. I like that team. They can score, and I think Colorado can score too. And I'm curious to see how the Buffaloes, you know, how are they going to finish this storybook year? You know, nobody gave them really a chance at the start of the year. They've had a fantastic season. Even got to the Pac-12 championship, not winning the Pac-12, and they had the opportunity to really play spoiler and knock off Washington. Didn't happen. So how are they going to do for one more game? And that's the motivation part of bowl games that you never know. I can honestly see Colorado folding it up and just saying, whatever, we had our fun, we had our run. But I think that knowing that what both those teams went through in the final week here, well, let's see how it translates over to December, and I think that it could be a really, really fun bowl between them two.
10-11's Kevin Suits with us, Hail Varsity Radio. He is at volleyball. We will get him back to volleyball in one moment. Are you familiar with Nashville? Do you own cowboy boots? Will you be seen dancing?
I love Nashville. I have family right outside of Nashville. In fact, we took our family vacation there this past summer, and I had half of my phone is filled with memories from pictures that we took on our vacation. Just love it. I love that city. Not the little Chamber of Commerce for Nashville, but it is one of the fastest growing cities in the United States for young professionals. It's bursting at the seams. It is so fun. The Entertainment District, Broadway is the main road down there. Just take a stroll. Whether you're thirsty or not, you'll hear live music and you'll smell the barbecue. And it's something that will make you happy. It is it's an awesome, awesome town. We've been several times just because of family there, and I don't anymore own a cowboy hat. I did it one time, and I do have cowboy boots.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not knocking it. I mean, I can't pull it off. That's why I don't have one. But was it like the white cowboy hat from what's that movie?
There are many movies. Westerns.
No, I know. I know there are westerns, man. But it's with Tommy Lee Jones, and it was a Coen Brothers movie. It's like Academy Award winner.
You're stumping me. I should
slap myself.
I'm gonna go with
No Country for Old Men. Was it a white cowboy hat like No Country for Old Men?
Oh yeah, there you go. That was a great movie.
Yes.
Yes, I get you now. That was I actually saw that one, surprisingly. No.
But was it
something that's not Disney?
No, it's not. It's a whole sort of different from Disney. Kevin Suits, 1011 Sports with us. Kevin, enjoy the rest of your night. Thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
You too. Now, I hated that. I love that movie. But if Suits is wearing a cowboy hat, is it the white buck cowboy hat like that movie? You've seen that one.
I have not. I want to, though.
All right.
What was the other white hat? What's the... Dukes of Hazzard. Did some white? Is there a white hat on that show?
Roscoe wears a black hat. Boss Hogg's the fat guy with the white hat.
Yeah, that's all right.
How did he keep his uniform white all those episodes? As much pork rind eating, barbecue shot taken as Boss Hogg did.
It's a fair question.
It's brutal. All right, we will wind down a Tuesday. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
What a fun time today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Mitch Sherman. Thanks to Katie Martin, Madonna Proactive, and those strobe glasses when it comes to Madonna's sports performance. Big Ten Buffet with Rick Pizzo, and then our favorite pirate, Mike Leach, was with us. Kevin Suits also joined us. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, go see Rick at Sauter Heyman. Rick's putting the Santa hat on, offering instant discounts and giving away free trips with qualifying purchase now through December 31st. Get that sweetie of yours, what she really wants, and a free trip, again, with qualifying purchases. Instant discounts when you walk in to Sauter Heyman. Log on, SauterHeyman.com. See stores for details and a location near you. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. Okay, tomorrow on the reservation list, Robert Keith Kessling. Huh? Three names? Play-by-play man of the old Tennessee Vols. So he'll join us. Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord, will be with us. And head coach of Creighton basketball, Greg McDermott. So we'll get you ready for Nebraska-Creighton tomorrow night with the head Jay, Andy Markowski, the pride of Ord, Husker standout, and then some Tennessee talk as well. The ongoing Would You Rather discussion today for Tuesday. Get a volleyball national championship, beat Creighton or Kansas in Nebraska basketball, win the bowl game. Many of you are going, yes, please, to all of it. But say you can only pick one. And it kind of just goes, where are you putting all the marbles? Where are you placing all your chips in your fandom of importance? Now, the volleyball national championship, there's no argument that a championship is most important, most impressive. But what sport's most important to you? Thankfully, maybe all three of these squads can hook you up. Caller 6 right now, Holiday Hail Mary. I'll get out on time on this one, TJ. The Holiday Hail Mary, Caller 6 right now with ESPN and Hail Varsity. The Holiday Hail Mary qualifying you right now, Caller 6. You'll qualify for a Schrock Innovations Windows 10 tablet. Jet Splash Car Wash Certificate, $100 in value. And Auto Sounds of Lincoln car starter. It's going to be 20 and gross, eastern part of the state. Warm that right up of yours as old man Winter keeps throwing left hooks. Caller 6 466 3776 466 3776 1-800-825-5865. The Holiday Hail Mary Caller 6. Now, don't worry if you're Caller 7, we'll hook you up. How about that subscription? 6-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. That goes to caller 7-466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. You get a premium online subscription with Hail Varsity. You get access to an amazing message board community, great premium content. Aaron Sorensen, Brandon Vogel, Jacob Padilla, Jake Jensen. Of course, insider info, recruiting analysis, in-depth analysis, breaking news. Collar 7, the HailVarsity.com premium online subscription. Collar 6, that holiday Hail Mary qualification. Be good. And take care. Thanks for your time tonight. Thanks to Coach Leach, Coach McDermott, tomorrow, as we'll be back at you at 4. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. See you.